You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the Grand Jury Reawakening, exclusively here on RBN. I'm your hostess, Dr. Kelly, and I'm going to be covering a relation of the imprisonment of John Bunyan. And I'm going to give a couple comments and state a couple facts here. Back in the 2003 SARS outbreak, some wealthy Chinese ordered some colostrum. That's the first press of raw milk or real milk or farm fresh milk as it comes out of the cow, or as it comes out the cow. And interestingly, oddly enough, the miritary or military, the Chinese military, confiscated this particular batch of colostrum because they knew that it was effective against the SARS outbreak of 2002-2003. So it's pretty creepy. Know this, that chlorine bleach, sodium hypochlorite, does in fact mutate human cells, turning them carcinogenic, and that it mutates bacteria, like a simple bacteria, which is also a dimorphic organism, meaning in the cold, like a refrigerator, you get mold, and in the heat of a human body, you get yeast. You're only going to get those facts here on RBN. And thanks for tuning in. Let me grab this book and pick up reading where I left off. There it is. Pardon me. Nothing more fun than a live show. All right, so get your hands on this collector's edition item here. And you get about 9 stories for the price of 1. And it's a 960-page volume with John Bunyan's personal memoir, his last sermon, his personal account of his life before he accepted Christ, his time spent in prison for preaching. And also included are over a dozen beautifully detailed artistic etchings that visually narrate special scenes. So this is the Pilgrim's Progress Collector's Edition by John Bunyan. And there's a great allegory in here called The Pilgrim's Progress. And there's also a fantastic story in here called The Holy War from the 1600s. And I'll be getting there in just a minute here. And this is a great... This makes a wonderful, lovely gift. This makes a lovely, wonderful graduation, Father's Day, Mother's Day. And I was reading and I moved my bookmark, so pardon me. Oh, it's just one of those days. Well, happy February. It is the 1st of February of 2020 here. And I'm looking forward to, we get 5 Saturdays together, and I want to congratulate Great Britain, Brexit, pickled onions, on your own again. And let's reach out to our friends in Nevada, and they're going to be recalling Steve Sisolak, the governor. And that's next door, and that's next weekend. The schedule is going to be starting around the 8th of February, and that's probably going to go on for 2 weeks, and they need 250,000 signatures in the Nevada Republic. And then we better get our act together and do the same here in the California Republic. Over in Great Britain, the grand jury was abolished in 1933. Isn't that interesting? How could so much be going on around the world in 1933 after 700 years? After 700 years of the grand jury it's time to reawaken in good old, merry old England. All right, I'm going to pick up here. I'm on page 5 of 15, covering John Bunyan's unlawful arrest and imprisonment. And we're talking about there's a Wingate and a Foster. And then came the justice and Mr. Foster to me again. We had a little more discourse about preaching, but because the method of it is out of my mind, I pass it. And when they saw that I was at a point and would not be moved nor persuaded, Mr. Foster said, the man that did at the first express so much love to me told the justice that then he must send me away to prison, and that he would do well also if he would present all those that were the cause of my coming among them to meetings. Thus we parted. And verily, as I was going forth of the doors, I had much ado to forbear saying to them that I carried the peace of God along with me. But I held my peace, and blessed be the Lord, went away to prison with God's comfort in my poor soul. After I had lain in the jail 5 or 6 days, the brethren sought means again to get me out by bondsmen. For so ran my mittimus, that I should lie there till I could find sureties. They went to a justice in Elstow, one Mr. Crumpton, to desire him to take bond for my appearing at the quarter sessions. At the first he told them he would, but afterwards he made a demur at the business, and desired first to see my mittimus, my mittens, which ran to this purpose, that I went about to several conventicles in this country to the great disparagement of the government of the Church of England, etc. When he had seen it, he said that there might be something more against me than was expressed in my mittimus, and that he was but a young man, and therefore he durst not do it. This my jailer told me, whereat I was not at all daunted, but rather glad, and saw evidently that the Lord had heard me. For before I went down to the justice, I begged of God that if I might do more good by being at liberty than in prison, that then I might be set at liberty. But if not, pardon me, his will be done. For I was not altogether without hopes, but that my imprisonment might be an awakening to the saints in the country. Therefore, I could not tell well which to choose. Only I, in that manner, did commit the thing to God. And verily, at my return, I did meet my God sweetly in the prison again, comforting of, we're on page 6, comforting of me and satisfying of me that it was his will and mind that I should be there. When I came back again to prison, as I was musing at the slender answer of the justice, this word dropped in upon my heart with some life. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. It's not tea, it's coffee. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Thus have I, in short, declared the manner and occasion of my being in prison, where I lie, waiting for the good will of God to do with me as he pleaseth, knowing that not one hair of my head can fall to the ground without the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let the rage and malice of men be never so great. They can do no more, nor go no further than God permits them. But when they have done their worst, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Farewell. And here we pick up, here is the sum of my examination before Justice Keelan, Justice Chester, Justice Blundale, Justice Beecher, and Justice Snag, with two G's, etc. After I had lain in prison above 7 weeks, the quarter sessions was to be kept in Bedford, for the country thereof, unto which I was to be brought. And when my jailer had set me before those justices, there was a bill of indictment preferred against me. The extent thereof was as followeth, that John Bunyan, of the town of Bedford, laborer, being a person of such and such conditions, he hath, since such a time, devilishly and perniciously abstained from coming to church to hear divine service, and is a common upholder of several unlawful meetings and conventicles, to the great disturbance and distraction of the good subjects of this kingdom, contrary to the laws of our sovereign Lord, the King, etc. Then the clerk pipes in here. When this was read, the clerk of the sessions said unto me, what say you to this, Bunyan? I said that as to the first part of it, I was a common frequenter of the Church of God, and was also by grace a member with the people over whom Christ is the head. Justice Keelan, but saith Justice Keelan, who was the judge in that court, do you come to church? You know what I mean, to the parish church, to hear divine service. Bunyan, I answered, no, no, I did not. Keel, he asked me why. I said, because I did not find it commanded in the Word of God. Keel, he said, we were commanded to pray. Bunyan, I said, but not by the common prayer book. Keel, he said, how then? I said, with the Spirit, as the Apostle saith, I will pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because we have some Roman numerals. Oh, and then 15, we have some Arabic numerals. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. And that reminded me, I wanted to go back and make a correction because I misread a scripture and a verse, and I wanted to correct it. And I apologize for misspeaking, but that particular scripture and verse that I was looking for is Matthew 5, Roman numeral 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. All right, I'm going to pick up right here. So, I said, but not by the common prayer book. Well, how then? I said, by the Spirit, as the Apostle saith, I will pray with the Spirit and with the understanding. Keel, he said, we might pray with the Spirit and with the understanding, and with the common prayer book also. Bunyan, I said that the prayers in the common prayer book were such as were made by other men and not by the motions of the Holy Ghost within our hearts. And as I said, the apostle saith, he will pray with the Spirit and with the understanding, not with the Spirit and the common prayer book. Another justice pipes in, what do you count prayer? Do you think it is to say a few words over, before, or among a people? Bunyan, I said, no, not so. For men might have many elegant or excellent words, and yet not pray at all. But when a man prayeth, he doth, through a sense of those things which he wants, which sense is begotten by the Spirit, pour out his heart before God through Christ, through his words, be not so many and so excellent as others are. Justices, they said that was true. Bunyan, I said this might be done without the common prayer book. And another piped in and said, one of them said, I think it was Justice Blundale or Justice Snag. How should we know that you do not write out your prayers first and then read them afterwards to the people? This he spake in a laughing way. Bunyan, I said, it is not our use to take a pen and paper and write a few words thereon, and then go and read it over a company of people. But how should we know it, said he. Bunyan, sir, it is none of our custom, said I. Keeling. But, said Justice Keelan, it is lawful to use common prayer and such like forms, for Christ taught his disciples to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And further said he, cannot one man teach another to pray? Faith comes by hearing, and one man may convince another of sin, and therefore prayers made by men and read over are good to teach and help men to pray. While he was speaking those words, God brought that word into my mind in the 8th of the Romans at the 26th verse. I say God brought it, for I thought not on it before, but as he was speaking, it came so fresh into my mind and was set so evidently before me as if the scripture had said, take me, take me. So when he had done speaking, Bunyan, I said, sir, the scripture, this is Bunyan speaking, Bunyan, I said, sir, the scripture saith that it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with sighs and groanings which cannot be uttered. Mark, said I, it doth not say the common prayer book teacheth us how to pray, but the Spirit. And it is the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities, saith the apostle. He doth not say, it is the common prayer book. And as to the Lord's Prayer, although it be an easy thing to say, our Father, etc., with the mouth, yet there are very few words that can, in the Spirit, say the two first words in that prayer, as knowing that it is to be born again, and as having experience that they are begotten of the Spirit of God, which if they do not, all is but babbling, etc. Keelan says, that was a truth. Keelan said that that was a truth. Bunyan, and I say further, As to your saying that one man may convince another of sin, and that faith comes by hearing, and that one man may tell another how he should pray, etc., I say men may tell each other of their sins, but it is the Spirit, with a capital S, that must convince them. And though it be said that faith comes by hearing, yet it is the Spirit that worketh faith in the heart through hearing, or else they are not profited by hearing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And that though one man may tell another how he should pray, yet, as I said before, he cannot pray nor make his condition known to God except the Spirit help. It is not the common prayer book that can do this. It is the Spirit that showeth us our sins, and the Spirit that showeth us a Savior. John chapter 16, verse 16. And the Spirit that stirreth up in our hearts desires to come to God for such things as we stand in need of. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Even sighing out, our souls come to him for them with groans which cannot be uttered, with other words to the same purpose. At this they were set. Keelan. But, said Justice Keelan, what have you against the common prayer book? Bunyan. I said, sir, if you will hear me, I shall lay down my reasons against it. Keelan. He said, I should have liberty. But first, he said, let me give you one caution. Take heed of speaking irreverently of the common prayer book, for if you do so, you will bring great damage on yourself. Bunyan said, so I proceeded and said my first reason was because it was not commanded in the Word of God, and therefore I could not use it. Another one of them said, where do you find it commanded in the Scriptures that you should go to Elstow or Bedford, and yet it is lawful to go to either of them, is it not? Bunyan, I said to go to Elstow or Bedford was a civil thing and not material, though not commanded. And yet God's word allowed me to go about my calling, and therefore, if it lay there, then to go thither, etc. But to pray was a great part of the divine worship of God, and therefore it ought to be done according to the rule of God's word. Another one of them said, he will do harm, let him speak no further. Keelan, Justice Keelan said, no, no, never fear him. We are better established than so. He can do no harm. We know the common prayer book has been ever since the apostles' time, and it is lawful for it to be used in the church. Bunyan, I said, show me the place in the epistles where the common prayer book is written, or one text of Scripture that commands me to read it, and I will use it. But yet notwithstanding, said I, they that have a mind to use it, they have their liberty. That is, I would not keep them from it, but for our parts, we can pray to God without it. Blessed be his name. With that, one who is your God, Beelzebub? Moreover, they often said that I was possessed with the spirit of delusion and of the devil. Ah, you're in good company, John. And which sayings I passed over, the Lord forgive them. And further, I said, blessed be the Lord for it. We are encouraged to meet together and to pray and to exhort one another, for we have had the comfortable presence of God among us. Forever blessed be his holy name. Justice Kalin called the peddlers French, saying that I must leave off my canting. The Lord open his eyes. Bunyan, I said that we ought to exhort one another daily while it is called today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. And then Keel, Justice Kalin said that I ought not to preach and asked me where I had my authority and other such like words. Bunyan, I said that I would prove that it was lawful for me and such as I am to preach the word of God. Keel, he said unto me, by what scripture? I said, by that, in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, the 10th verse, and Acts 18, with other scriptures, which he would not suffer me to mention, but said, hold, not so many, which is the first? Bunyan, I said this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, etc. Kalin, he said, let me a little open that scripture to you. As every man hath received the gift, that is, said he, as everyone hath received a trade, so let him follow it. If any man have received a gift of tinkering, as thou hast done, let him follow his tinkering, and so other men their trades, and the divine his calling, etc. Bunyan, nay, sir, said I. But it is most clear that the apostle speaks here of preaching the word. If you do but compare both the verses together, the next verse explains this gift, what it is saying. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So that it is plain that the Holy Ghost doth not so much in this place exhort to civil callings as to the exercising of those gifts that we have received from God. I would have gone on, but he would not give me leave. Kalin, he said we might do it in our families, but not otherwise. Bunyan, I said if it was lawful to do good to some, it was lawful to do good to more. If it was a good duty to exhort our families, it is good to exhort others. But if they held it a sin to meet together to seek the face of God and exhort one another to follow Christ, I should sin still, for so we should do. Kalin, he said he was not so well versed in scriptures as to dispute or words to that purpose, and said, moreover, that they could not wait upon me any longer, but said to me, then, you confess the indictment, do you not, now, and not till now? I saw I was indicted. Bunyan, I said this, I confess. We have had many meetings together, both to pray unto God and to exhort one another, and that we have the sweet, comforting presence of the Lord among us for our encouragement. Blessed be his name, therefore. I confessed myself guilty, no otherwise. Justice Kalin, then said he, hear your judgment. You must be had back again to prison, and there lie for 3 months following. And at 3 months' end, if you do not submit to go to the church to hear divine service and leave your preaching, you must be banished the realm. And if after such a day as shall be appointed you to be gone, you shall be found in this realm, etc., or be found to come over again without special license from the king, etc., you must stretch by the neck for it, I tell you plainly. And so he bid my jailer to have me away. Bunyan said, I told him, as to this matter, I was at a point with him. For if I was out of prison today, I would preach the gospel again tomorrow by the help of God. And another said, to which one made me some answer. But my jailer pulling me away to be gone, I could not tell what he said. Thus I departed from them, and I can truly say, I bless the Lord Jesus Christ for it, that my heart was sweetly refreshed in the time of my examination, and also afterwards at my returning to the prison, so that I found Christ's words more than bare trifles, where he saith, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. That's Luke 21:15. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. That's worth writing down and repeating and memorizing. And that his peace no man can take from us. Thus have I given you the substance of my examination. The Lord make these profitable to all that shall read or hear them. Farewell. And I'm on page 9, right near the middle of the left side. The substance of some discourse had between the clerk of the peace and myself when he came to admonish me according to the tenor of that law by which I was in prison. When I had lain in prison other 12 weeks, and now not knowing what they intended to do with me, upon the 3rd of April, 1661, comes Mr. Cobb unto me, as he told me, being sent by the justices to admonish me and demanded of me submittance to the Church of England, etc. The extent of our discourse was as followeth, Cobb. When he was come into the house, he sent for me out of my chamber, who, when I was come unto him, he said, Neighbor Bunyan, how do you do? Bunyan said, I thank you, sir, said I, very well, blessed in the Lord. Cobb, saith he, I come to tell you that it is desired you would submit yourself to the laws of the land, or else at the next session it will go worse with you, even to be sent away out of the nation, or else worse than that. Bunyan, I said that I did desire to demean myself in the world, both as becometh a man and a Christian. Cobb, but saith he, you must submit to the laws of the land and leave off those meetings which you was wont to have. For the statute law is directly against it. And I am sent to you by the justices to tell you that they do intend to prosecute the law against you if you submit not. Bunyan, I said, sir, I conceive that that law by which I am in prison at this time doth not reach or condemn either me or the meetings which I do frequent. That law was made against those that, being designed to do evil in their meetings, make the exercise of religion their pretense to cover their wickedness. It does not forbid the private meetings of those that plainly and simply make it their only end to worship the Lord and to exhort one another to edification. My end in meeting with others is simply to do as much good as I can, by exhortation and counsel, according to that small measure of light which God has given me, and not to disturb the peace of the nation. Cobb. Everyone will say the same, said he. You see, the late insurrection of London, under what glorious pretenses they went, and yet indeed they intended no less than the ruin of the kingdom and commonwealth. Bunyan. That practice of theirs I abhor, said I. Yet it doth not follow that, because they did so. Therefore all others will do so. I look upon it as my duty to behave myself under the king's government, both as becomes a man and a Christian. And if an occasion were offered me, I should willingly manifest my loyalty to my prince, both by word and deed. Cobb. Well, said he, I do not profess myself to be a man that can dispute, but this I say truly, neighbor Bunyan. I would have you consider this matter seriously and submit yourself. You may have your liberty to exhort your neighbor in private discourse, so be you do not call together an assembly of people. And truly, you may do much good to the Church of Christ. If you would go this way, and this you may do, and the law not abridge you of it, it is your private meetings that the law is against. Bunyan. Sir, said I, if I may do good to one by my discourse, why may I not do good to two? And if to two, why not to four, and so to eight, etc.? Page 10. Cobb. Aye, saith he, and to 100 I warrant you? Bunyan. Yes, sir, said I. I think I should not be forbid to do as much good as I can. Cobb. But, saith he, you may but pretend to do good, and indeed, notwithstanding, do harm. By seducing the people, you are therefore denied your meeting. So many together, lest you should do harm. Bunyan. And yet, said I, you say the law tolerates me to discourse with my neighbor? Surely there is no law tolerates me to seduce anyone. Therefore, if I may, by the law, discourse with one, surely it is to do him good. And if I by discoursing may do good to one, surely by the same law I may do good to many. Cobb. The law, saith he, doth expressly forbid your private meetings. Therefore they are not to be tolerated. Bunyan. I told him that I would not entertain so much uncharitableness of that parliament in the 35th of Elizabeth, or of the Queen herself, as to think they did by that law intend the oppressing of any of God's ordinances, or the interrupting any in the way of God. But men may, in the wrestling of it, turn against the way of God, but take the law in itself, and it only fighteth against those that drive at mischief in their hearts and meetings, making religion only their cloak, color, or pretense. For so are the words of the statute. If any meetings under color or pretense of religion, etc. Cobb said, very good. Therefore the king, seeing that pretenses are usually in and among the people, as to make religion their pretense only. Therefore he and the law before him doth forbid such private meetings, and tolerates only public. You may meet in public. Bunyan. Sir, said I, let me answer you in a similitude. Set the case that at such a wood corner there did usually come forth thieves to do mischief, must there therefore a law be made that every one that cometh out there shall be killed? May there not come out true men as well as thieves out from thence? Just thus it is in this case. I do think there may be many that may design the destruction of the commonwealth. But it does not follow, therefore, that all private meetings are unlawful. Those that transgress, let them be punished. And if at any time I myself should do any act in my conversation, as doth not become a man and Christian, let me bear the punishment. And as for your saying, I may meet in public, if I may be suffered, I would gladly do it. Let me have but meetings enough in public, and I shall care the less to have them in private. I do not meet in private because I am afraid to have meetings in public. I bless the Lord that my heart is at that point, that if any man can lay anything to my charge, either in doctrine or practice, in this particular, that can be proved error or heresy. I'm willing to disown it, even in the very marketplace. But if it be truth, then to stand to it, to the last drop of my blood. And sir, said I, you ought to command me for so doing. And sir, said I, you ought to commend me for so doing. To err and to be a heretic are two things. I'm no heretic because I will not stand refractorily to defend any one thing that is contrary to the word. Prove anything which I hold to be an error, and I will recant it. Cobb. But Goodman Bunyan, said he, methinks you need not stand so strictly upon this one thing as to have meetings of such public assemblies. Cannot you submit, and notwithstanding, do as much good as you can in a neighborly way without having such meetings? Bunyan. Truly, sir, said I do not desire to commend myself, but to think meanly of myself. Yet when I do most despise myself, taking notice of that small measure of light which God hath given me, also that the people of the Lord, by their own saying, are edified thereby. Besides, when I see that the Lord, through grace, hath in some measure blessed my labor, I dare not but exercise that gift which God hath given me for the good of the people. And I said further that I would willingly speak in public if I might. Cobb. He said that I might come to the public assemblies and hear. What though you do not preach, you may hear. Do not think yourself so well enlightened, and that you have received a gift so far above others, but that you may hear other men preach, or to that purpose. Page 11. Bunyan. I told him I was willing to be taught as to give instruction, and I looked upon it as my duty to do both. For, said I, a man that is a teacher, he himself may learn also from another that teacheth, as the apostle saith, ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. That is, every man that hath received a gift from God, he may dispense it, that others may be comforted. And when he hath done, he may hear and learn and be comforted himself of others. Cobb. But, said he, what if you should forbear a while and sit still till you see further how things will go? Bunyan, sir, said I, Wycliffe saith that which he leaveth off preaching and hearing of the word of God for fear of excommunication of men, he is already excommunicated of God and shall in the day of judgment be counted a traitor to Christ. Cobb, aye, saith he, they that do not hear shall be so counted indeed. Do you therefore hear? Bunyan, but sir, said I, he saith, he that shall leave off either preaching or hearing, etc., that is, if he hath received a gift for edification, doth not lay it out counsel the proportion of his gift, as well as to spend his time altogether in hearing others preach. This is the Grand Jury Reawakening. I'm reading Dr. Bunyan, or John Bunyan's Imprisonment. Dr. Kelly on RBN. I'll see you on the other side of this break.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Yeah.
welcome back to the Grand Jury Reawakening. This is your February 1st edition of 2020, and I'm going over some stories in the Pilgrim's Progress Collector's Edition that was written by John Bunyan, B-U-N-Y-A-N. He was born in 1628 and died August of 1688. And this would make a great gift. This is The Pilgrim's Progress and Other Select Works. And I'm covering one of the imprisonments of John Bunyan and the discourse between he, the clerk, judges, and other folks in this particular court system in England. And a really interesting point to make is that they definitely need their grand jury to reawaken. So if you have any friends, any relatives in merry old England that didn't come over on the steamer or by some other mode of transportation, a sailboat, go ahead and point this out to them, that England, your grand jury was abolished in 1933. I noticed that in my training materials and manual. No kitty, just wait. Got a couple minutes, kitty. what an adventure day. Got knocks on the door, got cats knocking things over. I really appreciate the opportunity to get this information out to you and for you to transfer it to those that you care about. The grand jury functioned in merry old England for about 700 years. And then all of a sudden in 1933 it was abolished. What happened in 1933? A lot, and it was not good. Not here, not there, not anywhere. So next door in Nevada, it's going to be time to recall Steve Sisolak. Here in California, it's going to be time to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. And by supporting RBN and yourself and others, we're going to be winning all the way around. What's embarrassing and shaming is when you don't even make it to the podium or when you make it to the third place spot, because that's just it's either a copper medal, bronze medal, brass medal, and you definitely, after all that training and discipline and work, you're hoping to go for the gold. Gold is okay. Silver, but copper, no way. Thank you again for coming to visit at the Grand Jury Reawakening. I will see you here next Saturday. Thank you for supporting RBN.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.